Our reading is found in Mark 3, verse 20 to 34. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law, who came down from Jerusalem, said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons." So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly, I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin." He said this because they were saying, "He has an impure spirit." Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him and they told him, "Your mother and brothers are outside looking for you." "Who are my mother and my brothers?" he asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle round him and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." Amen.
Welcome, everyone. Especially if it's your first time back after a while, or if I haven't seen you for a while anyway. Lord bless you. What to do when your family doesn't get Jesus? In the reading that Simon just gave us, there were actually two groups of people who didn't get Jesus. There was the teachers of the law, and we'll come to them next week. All the stuff about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, that's next week, okay? Lord willing. Today, I want to look at Jesus' own family. Because they didn't get Jesus either. They didn't understand his mission. They were afraid. In fact, they thought Jesus was out of his mind. When someone becomes a Christian, it affects all of their relationships. Do you remember Jesus told a parable once about someone making bread? He said, you know, imagine this great big sack of flour, and you put a tiny little bit of yeast in it, and it spreads through the whole thing. And the kingdom of God is like that, says Jesus. When Jesus is your king, it's not that it just affects this little bit here, this little compartmentalized, maybe what you do at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. It affects the whole thing. It filters through and affects every single part of your life. When Jesus is king, it affects how you spend your time and your money and what your interests are and who you pursue relationships with and what music you listen to and stuff. Like for me, when I became a Christian, it affected my language for a start. It affected the TV that I chose to watch. It affected my musical taste, quite considerably. And as a result of those three things, it affected who my friends are as well. And suddenly you find, because you want to please the king, because the king has saved you, suddenly all these other things just have to fit into place somehow around that. He is the thing that makes all the difference. Well, today, maybe today as you're watching this at home or as you're in the room right now, maybe you're thinking about following Jesus and you need to weigh up the cost of doing that. You need to weigh up the cost. It has a very high cost for some people to follow Jesus. But when you see the value of the treasure that he is, suddenly everything else is worth giving up. Following Jesus affects your relationships. especially. It might affect your relationship with your spouse or with your wider family, certainly with your friendship group. And I think it's amazing. I don't think I'd ever seen this before until this week, that Jesus was affected by that as well. His family didn't understand. His family didn't get what had happened. So let me take you to the scene. They're in a house, probably in Capernaum, which is a fishing village by the Sea of Galilee. It's where most of Jesus' early ministry took place, in that kind of area, the northern coast of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus and his disciples are there in the house. There's at least 15 of them. In the just previous passage, we read about the 12